bouncing from end to end, making sure the customers keep drinking and handing over tips. Stop it, Ripley. No more looking at the negative. It's not broken. Everything will be fine after you put some ice on it tonight. As soon as I reach the break room, I drop onto the couch and survey my already bruising skin. I poke gingerly at it and wince at the sharp pain. It probably isn't broken, but damn, does it hurt. It's swelling, and an entire night working on it is the worst thing I can possibly do. But what choice do I have? None. This is when I suck it up and do my job because I'm not about to let hope down on my first night. I dig 4 ibuprofen out of the first aid kit and dry swallow them before changing into my new shirt. Let's hope they kick in quick. And I get my ass back to work.
35. The first place I go to look for Ripley is the fishbowl, and I'm praying it isn't closed. The flickering neon sign is lit up, which gives me hope. Pulling my ball cap lower on my head, I duck inside and find it's a little busier than the first time Frisco and I came in, but definitely nothing like last night when we packed the place. It doesn't take a genius to guess that some of these people are here hoping Frisco and I will come in again and put on another show. Sorry, guys, not happening tonight. I stride toward the bar but almost miss a step when I see Ripley's cousin behind it instead of Ripley. Brandy's pouring drinks with an annoyed expression on her face. Maybe pissed off she finally has to work? I stop at the end of the bar and she comes toward me. What do you want? Need to talk to Ripley. The edges of Brandy's mouth curl up smugly. Well, you came to the wrong place for that. Her scathing tone triggers alarm bells in my head. What do you mean? Ripley don't work here no more. Uncle Frank fired her. He put me in charge, which means I can tell you to get the hell out. Ripley's dad fired her. Shit. Where is she? Don't know, don't care. It ain't fair that I got stuck with the mess she left, but that's what I got. So unless you're here to apologize for breaking my phone or to give me another grand to make up for it, you can march your ass right out. Is she still living upstairs? No, when I said she's gone, I meant gone. And you don't have a clue where she went? I find that hard to believe. Brandy's lips press into a thin, flat line, and I know she's not going to help me, unless I pull out my wallet and peel off 100, even though the last thing I want to do is give her a dime. I hold it up in the air, and she crosses her arms over her scrawny chest. Looking down the bar at the regulars I remember from the other night, I decide to try them instead. After I reintroduce myself to them, I ask, do you have any idea where Ripley might have gone? The older woman, Pearl, I think her name is, shakes her head. Nope. First time in years I haven't seen her behind the bar. There were a couple times when she had strep throat or a cold and didn't want us to catch it. But other than that, she was always here. While interesting, her information isn't helpful. My gaze shifts to her husband, Earl. Any idea? He sips his beer. No, sir. From the corner of the bar, the bird says, you're fired. Brandy giggles from behind the bar. He's been saying that all day, just like Uncle Frank. A sick, sinking feeling takes up residence in my gut. This is my fault. I've done nothing but bring shit into Ripley's life that she didn't ask for. After backing up a few steps, I peel off another 100 and slap both bills on the bar. Where the hell is she? Brandy reaches out to snatch the cash from beneath my hand, but I keep it pressed tight against the wood. Her expression twists into something ugly. I don't care where she is as long as she's gone. But for 200, I'll tell you that she probably ran to her friend Hope for help. She manages the White Horse. Brandy yanks at the money again, and I wait a beat before I let it go. Good luck keeping this place open without her. She sneers at me as I turn to head for the door. I don't need her. I just needed her out of the way. I spin on my heel, staring her down as I stalk back to the bar and lean over it, getting in her space. What the fuck did you do? Brandy shrugs. Nothing you can prove. I haul in a breath and force myself to walk away without saying another word. I want to rip that girl a new one, but it's not going to help me any. I shove open the door so hard it slams against the brick outside before swinging closed behind me. At least I know where I'm going next.
36. My ankle burns enough to keep tears stinging behind my eyes with every step, but I keep moving anyway, because that's what you do when you have no other option. As I serve drinks, the only thing keeping my fake smile in place is the amount of tips I'm pulling in. Even though we split them, I'm going to make more tonight off tips alone than I've ever paid myself in a week at the fishbowl. Maybe I should have done this a long time ago. Thankfully, I don't have time to question my misplaced loyalty because a flurry of drink orders is hurled across the bar by customers. When I slide two plastic cups under the taps, a guy leans forward and yells, "Are you the chick who fucked Boone Thrasher? Because you look just like the picture I saw online. You're hot. I can totally see why he'd nail you." I'd been getting some intense looks for the last couple of hours, but I assumed they were in appreciation of my decent rack in this tight tank top. Please tell me I wasn't wrong. "Sorry, don't know what you're talking about." He holds out his phone, and on the front page of a massive gossip blog is the picture that little punk-ass Vandy kid snapped last night. The one that Boone was supposed to take care of. I can only guess that my expression is one of shock and horror, which the guy takes for an affirmative reply.
"Totally thought so. When you get sick of him, there are plenty of us who'll get in line for a shot at you next. He has killer taste." "Hey, asshole, that's my girlfriend you're talking to," Law shouts, slurring his words.
I squeeze my eyes shut with an "are you kidding me" sigh and flip the taps before removing the full plastic cups from beneath. As much as I want to toss them in his face, I go with my canned reply because I need this job.
"Here are your beers, sir. Enjoy your night at the White Horse."
I step away from the bar as Law talks shit to the guy, which has to be an alcohol-fueled development, because whenever some guy would make a comment to me before, he never got upset. Finally, I lose my grip on my temper and smack a palm on the bar, getting the attention of both men.
"Listen up," I point at Law. "Ex-girlfriend, and you don't need to defend my honor. I'm all set."
I swing my finger to point at the other guy.
"I'll serve you drinks until you run out of money or the laws of the state of Tennessee tell me to stop, but other than that, you aren't getting shit from me. Both of you, step out of the way so I can serve more customers."
The slow clap coming from just behind Law catches my attention, right before the source starts speaking.
"Good to know I'm not the only one who gets the sharp side of your tongue, sugar."
The deep voice, rough and husky, has both men I just bitched out spinning around.
"Whoa. Holy shit, you're Boone Thrasher."
Boone's blue eyes pierce the punk.
"And you're a piece of shit. Don't talk to my girl again if you want to walk out of here."
His girl? Say what now? Boone's gaze swings to Law, dealing with them one at a time like I just did.
"Don't know who you think you are, but it doesn't matter to me."
Finally, Boone meets my eyes. Lowering his voice, he says,
"What are you doing here?"
"Working. Can we please talk about whatever's on your mind later, superstar, because I'm a little busy." I snag two more plastic cups and shove them under the taps. For a minute, I think Boone is going to tell me no, we're going to talk right now, but he doesn't.
"Fine. I know how I can pass a few hours."
He glances toward the stage where the house band is taking a break after their first set. Hope comes toward me, taking in Boone and Law.
"Oh, hell, isn't this a fun little reunion?"
"You Hope?"
Boone asks, and she nods.
"Mind if I borrow your stage for a while?"
I glance at her as her face lights up.
"Hell no, I don't mind. We broke our record the night you and Frisco crashed last week. Bring it on, man."
Boone nods.
"Thanks. I gotta wait until Rip here finishes her shift, so I might as well make it fun."
Hope steals one of the beers I'm pouring and hands it across the bar to Boone.
"On the house. Go tear it up. I'll get security for you and have them call in a bigger crew."
Boone's gaze shifts back to me.
"I like your friend."
Without another word, Boone turns and makes his way through the crowd until he hits the stage. He jumps up on it, beer in one hand as he grabs the microphone with the other. He takes a swig and waits for the house music to stop before he speaks into it.
"How y'all doing tonight?"
The crowd on the floor turns in unison to stare at Boone before erupting into screams and cheers.
I had so much fun here the other night, I thought I'd come back and do it again.
Someone starts the chant, and suddenly the bar is filled with people yelling, Boone, Boone, Boone. Hope turns to me, and over the din, she says, He is hot for you. Ride that train for all it's worth, baby girl. An hour later, my ankle is swollen to the size of a grapefruit, and I can't pretend it doesn't hurt like hell. I'm limping toward my next customer when Brian drops a hand on my shoulder.
What the fuck happened to you?
Rolled my ankle on the stairs. His eyes widen.
When you got the keg? And you've been walking on it this whole time without saying a damn thing?
It's my first night. I wasn't about to complain when I need this job. Brian shakes his head like I just told him I slammed my hand in a door on purpose.
You're an idiot. What good will you be tomorrow if you don't take care of it?
I don't have a shift until Wednesday. Hope is working me into the schedule, so I need the money from tonight to... Well, I need it.
I get it, but you need to get off that ankle. I'll get Hope.
He strides away, says something to Hope, and my friend hustles toward me.
You little asshole, why didn't you tell me?
Really? You know why.
Fine, but you're done. I'll grab my keys and you can take my truck home. I'll get a ride with someone else. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
She rushes away toward the employee break room and her locker, and I keep serving drinks. When Hope returns, she hands me her keys.
Are you going to be okay driving and walking on that?
It's my left ankle, so as long as I don't have to drive a manual transmission like my own freaking car, I'll be fine.
I'm good. We'll split all of tonight's tips at close, and I'll bring yours home.
Give me a smaller share. I'm leaving early.
Shut up.
Love you.
Love you more. Go get your shit and get out of here.
I duck into the break room, and when I come out, I notice one major difference. Boone's voice is no longer carrying through the bar. Instead, another top country hit is coming through the speakers. Hope is already hard at work, so I limp toward the back door. More accurately, I start to limp toward the back door.
What the fuck?
Boone's voice booms from behind me.
Are you okay? What happened?
Glancing back toward the bar, I see him with a bottle of water in one hand and security on either side of him. The last thing I need is another public scene at my brand new job.
Nothing. I'm heading out.
I take another step, attempting not to limp, but a hiss of pain escapes my lips. Boone is on me faster than I can silence it.
What happened, sugar? And don't lie to me.
I bite my lip, debating for a hot second whether to tell him the truth.
Ripley.
When he says my name with an edge to it, I decide I'll get out of here quicker if I just tell him.
I fell down the stairs and rolled my ankle right before you got here. It's swelling up, so I'm going back to Hope's to put some ice on it.
Boone's expression morphs from one of concern to anger in the flash of a second.
You fell down the fucking stairs and you've been working for over a goddamned hour on a sprained ankle? Behind a bar?
My jaw clenched, I reply. I'm trying to leave now, so if you'll-
You need to go to a hospital and make sure it ain't broken. Fell down the stairs. Jesus Christ, woman.
It's on the tip of my tongue to tell him not freaking happening, because I don't have health insurance, but instead I wave him off.
I'll be fine at Hope's. I just need to put some ice on it.
Boone's eyes meet mine, his expression somber yet frustrated.
Let me help you.
If there's one trait I got from Pop, it's my stubbornness. I'm fine, I'm going now. I step around Boone, but he spins, bends down, and drops his shoulder to my stomach and lifts me up.
What?
The only place you're going is with me.
One of the security guys chuckles as Boone strides out of the bar with me over his shoulder, ignoring my protests to put me down.
Hey, asshole. She said put her down.
I recognize Law's voice, but Boone doesn't slow. Security keeps everyone back, and we clear the door. From my position over his shoulder, I can't see a thing, but once we're outside, I can hear yelling. My name, his name, questions. Shit, it's the press.
They found him, and now pictures of me dangling over his shoulder like some barbarian conqueror's prize will be all over the internet. Freaking fabulous. I renew my struggles. Put me down! They're going to get picked. Boone lowers me to the ground, cutting off my demand as he wraps an arm around me.
Hold on to me for balance. Try not to put any weight on that ankle.
How can he sound so normal? Trying not to look toward the flashing cameras, I finally realize we're standing next to Boone's car, which is parked in a prime location behind the bar. Someone set up portable barricades like you would see outside a concert venue for crowd control, and three uniformed security guards stand with their arms crossed. The flashing cameras and shouting voices are beyond the wall of metal and muscle. They're getting pictures of us together, of you carrying me. Don't you care? And did they really put a fence around your car? This is all crazy. My hair, which was in a messy bun on top of my head, is now tangled around my shoulders. Boone unlocks the car before shifting his attention back to me. He searches my face, but I don't have a clue what he's looking for. Finally, he speaks.
You're in my life, Ripley. It doesn't matter how it happened, but it happened. Do I wish the press didn't come with me? Sure, but it's something I deal with. Am I going to let them stop me from doing what I want? Not a chance. It might be a little crazy, but maybe I am too. About you.
Boone spears his fingers through my hair and cups the back of my head. His blue eyes flash before he lowers his mouth to mine. My brain is telling my body to pull away, to stop him before the reporters get more ammunition to use against me. But my body flips my brain the bird and curls into Boone and his kiss. When he finally pulls back, he studies my face again.
I've been wanting to do that all night. Let's get you in the car so we can get out of here.
Boone maneuvers me into the front seat and shuts the door. The questions from the press are muted now that I'm inside the car, and I can almost forget they're out there. Almost. When Boone finally climbs inside and fires up the engine, the security guards move the metal barriers to make room for the car to fit through. They do a good enough job keeping the press corralled so we can get by. Boone snags Hope's keys from my hand and rolls down the window to toss them to a bald security guy.
Take these to the head bartender inside. Thanks, man.
Once we're on the road, Boone revs the engine and hauls ass down the street. That's when it occurs to me that I have no clue where we're going.
37. The lyrics to my new single stream through my head with Ripley sitting in the front seat. I'm gonna take a ride with you in my 442. Rolling down the same old roads like we always do. Other things may change, my love remains the same. With you by my side, in my new old ride, in my 442. I'd written that song thinking that it would be Amber rolling down the back roads with me, but she's never even been inside this car. It was delivered the night before I planned to propose, the night she married someone else. The burn might still be fresh, but tonight it's not causing me any pain at all. Where are we going? Ripley asks. I shake off the thoughts of Amber, not wanting tonight polluted with her. First, to the ER so you can get that ankle looked at. Ripley's expression turns panicked. No, we're not. I can't afford it. Besides, I don't need a doctor to tell me I sprained my ankle and I need to stay off it for a day, put some ice on it, and keep it elevated. Despite her protests, I turn toward the hospital. You're stubborn enough to lose an arm and tell me you only need a Band-Aid, so I don't care what you think you need. I'm telling you, you're getting it x-rayed. We don't know how bad it really is yet. Ripley shoots me a glare. If I lost an arm, I'd be begging to go to a hospital. I'm not an idiot. Her tone is snappish, but I figure that's better than the panic I saw on her face before. I didn't say you were. I said you were stubborn. But guess what? So am I. She stares straight ahead, her voice almost inaudible over the growl of my big block engine. Look, I'm not just being contrary. I can't go to the ER. I don't have insurance. I don't have enough cash. I can't. Not right now. I'll be fine. Just take me back to Hope's and I can wait for her in my car. Is she fucking serious? She can't mean that. I glance over at Ripley, her spine ramrod straight and shoulders back, her chin lifted. I was wrong. It's not stubbornness, it's pride. My girl has it in spades. I'm covering the bill. We both know you're working at the White Horse instead of the Fishbowl because of me. I reach over and lay a hand on her thigh. I'm sorry, Ripley. It wasn't my intent to get you fired and kicked out of your apartment. She shifts toward me in the passenger seat. I quit. He didn't fire me until after I said I quit, so I'm going to stick to my story. And as for getting kicked out of the apartment, I'll figure it out. It's been a long time coming, if you want to know the truth. It wasn't your fault. Friday night might have been the last shove over the edge, but it's certainly not the only reason. Don't go feeling guilty because I'm homeless and jobless. I don't need your pity. I squeeze her leg. The last thing I feel towards you is pity. But I do feel responsible, and I'm not shirking that responsibility. You're just going to have to deal with that. I finally move my hand and make a right at the glowing emergency room sign. Ripley looks at me, her face screwed up in irritation. I'm not going inside. Then I'll be carrying you again. What part of no don't you understand? Any of it when it means you don't take care of yourself. So, stop arguing with me and deal with it. Ripley keeps up with the protests as I park the car, when I open her door and lift her into my arms, and all the way through the sliding glass doors. The woman at the triage desk looks up for a beat before going back to her paperwork. But in 3, 2, 1, she jerks her gaze up again for a double take and her eyes widen. Can you get us into a private room? Her mouth opens, but no words come out. She finds her voice a moment later. Yes, of course, Mr. Thrasher. Please come with me. She glances to another woman working at the desk. I'll be right back. Within moments, we're in an exam room, and I lower Ripley onto the hospital bed. Let me get Dr. Marks for you. I'll be right back. She closes the door behind her. This is seriously what it's like to be you? I mean, you just walk in and people rush to do whatever you need? Wow. I took the wrong career path because it might be worth it, if only to skip the lines everywhere you go. Heat flashes at the base of my neck because she's right. This is what it's like to be me. At least, now it is. It wasn't always like this, trust me. And I don't feel bad about using it to my advantage when I need to, like right now. Ripley looks like she's going to say something else, but there's a knock on the door before it opens a crack. A woman in a white coat with a stethoscope around her neck steps inside. She reaches out a hand. Mr. Thrasher, I'm Dr. Marks. What can we do for you today? Ripley rolls her eyes at the deferential tone, and it occurs to me that I've gotten used to being treated like this. It's not a surprise anymore. I'm not sure how I feel about the fact that I've been taking this kind of service for granted. My mama would kick my ass if she knew. Ms. Fisher sprained her ankle, or maybe broke it. We're not sure. She needs an x-ray. Can you take a look? Dr. Mark smiles at both of us. Of course, Mr. Thrasher. We'll take great care of Ms. Fisher. The deferential treatment continues for the entire 60 minutes we're in the ER. We're in and out of radiology in moments, and the x-ray reveals her ankle is sprained. Ripley is fitted with an air cast and given a prescription for some painkillers. The hospital staff apologizes profusely for being out of crutches in Ripley's size, for which I'm particularly grateful because I know she'd overdo it if she could get around. Before we leave, I fill out a form to have the bill sent to my financial manager to be handled. Through all of this, Ripley stays quiet, only giving the information requested of her, at least until they bring the wheelchair to take her out. I'll pass, thank you. The man who wheeled it into the room frowns. Ma'am, I'm afraid we'll have to insist. It's either this or I'll carry you again, I tell her. I figure Ripley will have her ass in that chair so fast the orderly's head will spin. Not so. Ripley looks up at me. No wheelchair. I don't hesitate to lift her into my arms. Call it primal, but I like carrying her around. When the orderly protests, Dr. Marks gives him a silencing look before turning back to me. If you'd like, we can have someone bring your car around and you can go out the back entrance. I appreciate it, but that's not necessary. We're all set. Just when I think that there's no chance the media could have gotten wind of us being here already, I'm proven wrong. As soon as we step out of the glass doors, a camera flashes. Ripley stiffens in my arms, burying her face against my chest. It's okay, it's just one guy. He'll get a few photos and probably try to tail us. This is ridiculous. I'm not usually such a big draw. I swear it's not always like this. I glance down at her, and I think Ripley gets what I'm saying. The mess with Amber and then the press latching onto Ripley and me has made me way more entertaining copy than I've been in the last year. The happy couple stories get old. What the media wants is drama. He follows us at a distance all the way to the car, watching as I get Ripley inside. After I close the door, I walk over to him. The guy looks a little scared, like I might decide to kick his ass. Valid concern. You get everything you need, man? His eyes bug out, probably with shock because I'm not yelling. Yeah, I think so. I nod. Good deal. Since you're the only guy I see here, you got your exclusive for the night. We're going home, and I guarantee there won't be shit for you to see because we'll be behind gates and trees. Save yourself some time and don't bother following us. There's no point. You're going back to your place? With the girl? You together? What's the deal with that? He launches into a bunch of questions that I have no intention of answering. I told you all I'm going to tell you, so I'd really appreciate it if you'd move on, man. He yanks a card from his pocket and holds it out. If you ever want to... I look down at it, and part of me wants to rip him a new one for overstepping, but I'm too tired tonight. I take it from him and shove it in my pocket. Have a good one. You too, Mr. Thrasher. I hope Miss Fisher is okay. She'll be fine.
38. I've spent the last decade as a night owl, so being awake at 3:30 in the morning isn't unusual. But now I'm exhausted, physically, mentally, and emotionally. When Boone heads away from town, I don't have the fortitude to argue with him about where I'm sleeping, because I have a feeling I would probably lose. Even with the outcome a foregone conclusion, any other night I would put up a fight. Tonight, I'm done. If they never find my body, you know they'll come after you, I tell him as he merges onto the highway. That paparazzi guy will make sure of it. Boone's eyes shift away from the road to me, shafts of light sliding across his face as the 442 accelerates.
You trying to say you think I'm a serial killer?
I shake my head before dropping it back against the seat. No, I'm just tired. It's been a long day.
You want to tell me what went down with your dad?
I squeeze my eyes shut, not wanting to replay that memory anytime soon.
Nope. You want to tell me about the douchebag in the bar?
I open my eyes a tad and check out Boone's expression. Law? Not really.
Law?
I snort chuckle at the way Boone says his name. Yeah, short for Lawrence. He wanted to be a lawyer since he was a kid, so instead of going by his full name, he shortened it.
I was right. Total douchebag. And you dated him?
Apparently, Boone didn't catch my not really. I could choose not to answer, but he would badger me anyway. Yes.
For how long?
A little over a year.
And?
Boone changes lanes before taking the next exit.
And what?
We dated. Then we were done. His pointed look tells me that there's no way in hell he believes it was that simple.
There's more to the story than that.
Wanting to move on to a new subject, I give him the quick and dirty rundown. He was in law school and I worked at the fishbowl. Not only did our schedules not mesh, he wanted me to choose between him and the bar. So I did. Boone slows at a stoplight ahead.
Why didn't you choose the bar this time?
I look up at the red headliner because his question is a valid one. Every time I've been forced to choose between anything or anyone and the bar, I've chosen the fishbowl. I don't know. My tone is quiet and thoughtful. We don't speak for the rest of the drive. When we pull up in front of an 8-foot-tall black metal gate, Boone slows, and it swings open.
Sensor in the car, he explains.
I nod like that makes perfect sense, but automatic gates have never been part of my life. I can see why he'd need one, given what he puts up with, though. The house doesn't come into view for a good 2 minutes as we cruise up the long driveway through a field and then woods. Tucked away in the middle of what must be a massive piece of property is a sprawling rock and wood structure that looks like it would merit an episode of CMT's Cribs.
Damn, you couldn't build something a little bigger?
Boone laughs.
You sound like my brother. He gives me shit every time he's here. Like, why didn't I build an indoor pool or a tennis court? It's not like a bowling lane is enough entertainment.
You have a bowling lane? I blink as a massive garage door opens and he drives the 442 inside to park next to a huge black truck that looks like it costs more than the building the fishbowl is located in.
I'll show you tomorrow. Sit tight. I'm coming around to get you.
But I don't. I open the car door and climb out, hopping on one foot and using the truck for balance. I'd feel bad about leaving fingerprints on it, but the mud on the tires tells me Boone's not going to care. At least, not about the truck.
I told you to wait, damn it.
Before I protest, I'm cradled in Boone's arms again, and he carries me into the house. It's dark, but when he flips on the lights, my mouth slackens. It's gorgeous.
Holy shit. Yeah, I know. If someone had left all the designing up to me, I probably would have had antlers everywhere, but my decorator put the smackdown on that.
He brings me through a huge mudroom, an insanely gorgeous kitchen that I barely have time to appreciate, and down a long hallway with a high ceiling. At the end of the hall, he walks into a massive bedroom with what has to be a California king in the center, with a frame made of logs and leather. It's so completely Boone.
Wow, this is nice.
Inwardly, I'm cringing, thinking about the fact that he was in my shitty little apartment. But at least you had your apartment then. Now your stuff is in boxes in a duffel bag next to a futon in your best friend's living room. The world of difference between our situations couldn't be more obvious, and yet Boone isn't flashy about his money. Law had waited a whole 30 seconds before he told me his salary to try to impress me. I've never heard Boone talk about money. Ever. Maybe that's because he has so much, it's not something he even thinks about. Boone lowers me onto the bed.
You're staying in here.
But this is your room. My tone takes on a hint of panic.
Good eye.
I can't stay in here, with you. Boone crosses both arms over his chest.
Why the hell not?
Because I can't. That's not... It just... I can't. Boone tugs off his ball cap and drops it on top of a nightstand before running a hand through his shaggy brown hair.
It's too late to argue about this. Let's wash up, get some sleep, and figure it out in the morning.
I'm not trying to be ungrateful. Really, I'm not. But I can't share a bed with Boone. I know we slept together, but this is intimacy on a whole different level.
You've got a sprained ankle, and you're wearing a damn air cast. It's not like I'm gonna try to fuck you tonight, Rip. We both need sleep.
My nipples, traitorous little bitches that they are, perk up when he says, try to fuck you. Boone doesn't miss it.
No matter how bad I want to.
The heat blazing in his blue eyes sears me. For long moments, I meet his stare, and with each passing second, the heat spreads through my body. What is it about this man that sets me off like no one ever has before? It's not fair that I have no control over my physical reactions when it comes to Boone. I swallow, wishing he'd say something.
You're killing me, sugar. You keep looking at me like that, and I won't be able to keep my word.
His tone is husky, dripping with promise, and I'm seconds away from giving in. Surprisingly, Boone breaks our stare first, turning and jamming his hands in his pockets. When he turns back around a few moments later, the heat is banked.
I'll carry you into the bathroom and you can do your thing. Holler if you need any help. There's probably an extra toothbrush in the bottom drawer. Housekeeper stashes them in every bathroom.
Without any more discussion, he picks me up off the bed and takes me to a bathroom bigger than my apartment. Well, my old apartment. After Boone carefully lowers my feet to the floor, he shuts the door behind me. And I hobble to the toilet and sit down on the lid. What am I doing here? Taking a deep breath, I pull up my metaphorical big girl panties and do what I need to do. With my face washed and teeth brushed, I open the door to find Boone tossing a t-shirt and sweats on the bed, both massive.
You can change while I'm in there.
He picks me up and moves me back to the bed before tossing the clothes closer to me.
This is the best I could do on short notice. I'll be back in a few.
The words are stilted, missing the easiness I'm used to from him. Boone disappears into the bathroom, and I hastily change. The t-shirt is like a dress on me, the same size as the one he put on me when I was drunk that night outside the White Horse, so I forego the sweatpants. It might be a bad idea, but they're way too big. I eye the bed. This is a terrible idea. But I climb under the covers anyway and pull them up to my chin. My brilliant plan includes pretending to be asleep by the time he gets out of the bathroom, but I don't have to fake it. Exhaustion pulls me under in record time.
39. A streak of possessiveness flashes through me when I see Ripley sound asleep in the middle of my bed. I never felt like that with Amber, probably because she didn't like this room and insisted on staying in one of the guest suites on the rare occasion she spent the night here. The more insights I have like this about Amber, the more I understand that I dodged a bullet. My pride may have taken a beating, but I was lucky it happened the way it did. I was so caught up with the idea of having someone who was only mine and starting a family and building a life together that I was blind to the fact that the person I picked wasn't the right one. As always, Ma knew better. When I slide under the covers and turn on my side, Ripley's sleeping form snuggles into my body so that my chest presses against her back. I wrap my arm around her, and the tension in my body releases. Before I can think about why that is, I'm out too. The sun beats down on me and I toss the covers off trying to escape the heat. The heat. I jerk awake expecting to see a dark-haired wildcat in bed beside me, but she's gone. Did I dream all that? I catch sight of the sweatpants I'd offered her last night still folded up on the foot of the bed. No, definitely not a dream. Which means that my wildcat is somewhere limping around my house when she's supposed to be staying off her ankle so it can heal. I bolt out of bed and head for the door. Normally, I'd stop to grab some clothes because I usually sleep buck-ass naked, but last night, out of courtesy for Ripley, I put on some gym shorts. I follow my nose into the kitchen, but I can't place the scent. Ripley lifts a basket out of the fryer and drops fresh golden lumps onto a paper towel-covered plate. Holy shit. Is she making donuts? My morning wood turns into a full hard-on, and not only because she's wearing just my shirt, which skims the top of her thighs when she reaches up into the cupboard. Sweet Lord, I don't know what I did to deserve this, but I promise I'm going to do it again real soon. Ripley turns and startles when she sees me, dropping a bag of powdered sugar on the counter. A puff of white escapes from the bag as she slaps a hand over her chest. Jesus, you scared the shit out of me. A man your size shouldn't be able to move that quietly. Did you seriously make donuts? From scratch? Yeah. I take a step closer. I should have brought you home a long time ago. I stop less than a foot in front of her, and fuck, she smells amazing. If women wore donut-scented perfume, I guarantee they'd have to beat men off. I need to drop these last three in so I can finish up and make the icing. Lowering my head to bring my lips an inch away from her temple, I tell her, as sexy as you look right now, wearing nothing but my t-shirt and making one of my favorite foods, you need to get out of the kitchen and off that ankle. Her breath ghosts across my skin, which doesn't help my hard-on. I've been sitting while they fry. She jerks her head toward the bar stool behind her. I pick her up and put her on the stool. I'll finish them. She lifts her head, and I can't resist leaning forward to close my teeth over her perfect bottom lip and tug. Ripley freezes. I release her, but my tongue darts out to taste where I nipped. You're so fucking sexy. You taste like you've already gotten into the donuts, I tell her, not wanting to back away yet. I want you, Ripley, really fucking bad. If you'd still been in my bed when I woke up, you'd have my cock buried inside you right now, and I'd be making you scream. Her breathing quickens, and I lift my hand to trail it along the skin of her leg, inching the shirt up as I go higher. You like that? Her nod barely registers as a movement. If I reach between these gorgeous legs, am I going to find a wet pussy? She doesn't answer, instead swallows audibly. No answer? I guess I'm going to have to find out for myself. I curve my hand around the top of her luscious, naked ass, squeezing a handful and releasing a groan. Do you have any idea how sexy it is that you're never wearing any panties? Jesus. Whatever she's going to say trails off when I slide a hand between her thighs and cup her hot, wet center. Sweet fucking Christ, woman. I push the tips of two fingers inside and Ripley arches toward me. Screw the donuts. This can't wait.
40. Oh, my God. Boone's fingering me in his kitchen, and it's amazing. My hips jerk, seeking more contact, deeper, harder, faster. I don't care what he does, but I need him to do more of it. Please, I whisper, even though I hate to beg.
You could ask me for anything right now, and I'd give it to you.
His voice is deep and gravelly, and my nipples peek against the t-shirt. I need more. Boone's blue eyes search my face.
Sugar, I'm gonna give you everything.
He pulls his fingers away and palms my ass with both hands, lifting me off the bar stool. He carries me to the huge farmhouse-style table 6 feet from the kitchen and sets me on the cool wood.
This is the kind of breakfast I could get used to.
He lowers his head, closes his mouth around the hard bud through the cotton, and sucks. Electricity pulses and shoots through my body, lighting up my senses, my injured ankle all but forgotten. With his other hand, Boone shoves the t-shirt up and slides a finger inside me. One long, thick finger. I arch, leaning back on my elbows as Boone plays my body with as much skill as his guitar on stage. His teeth nip, tugging at my nipple the same way he did my lip, and a moan escapes my throat. He releases it before whipping the shirt up and over my head.
So much better.
Back to his ministrations, he sucks at the other peak, hardening them both into tight buds. It's not going to happen. Not yet. That's impossible. And yet the rush of an impending orgasm builds in my veins, threatening to take me under. More! It comes out sounding like a plea and a demand, and is met by a growl from Boone's lips as his finger plunges inside harder and faster, his thumb finding my clit. Yes, yes, yes! My entire body goes taut, and my vision turns fuzzy as my eyes roll back in my head. The release washes over me, and my entire body turns languid. If this is what I get for making donuts in the morning, I'm 100% down with being Betty freaking Crocker.
Your tight little cunt doesn't want to let my finger go.
Normally the C-word would put my back up, but on Boone's lips right now, it's hotter than I could have imagined. My eyes fix on the outline of his massive erection against his gym shorts, and I want it. Boone follows the direction of my gaze, and his lips tug into a sinful smile. He pulls his finger free of my pussy and lifts it to his mouth, sucking my juices clean.
You taste so damn good.
It's primitive, the feeling that's gripping every cell in my body. Hurry. Boone shoves down his shorts and wraps a hand around his thick cock and squeezes.
Can you take it all? Everything I've got to give, as hard as I want.
My hips lift, anxious to get closer. Yes. He steps between my legs, levering them apart with his hips.
You sure? Because the way you got my blood roaring right now, you're going to be feeling me tomorrow.
His lip quirks up on one side.
I like the thought of that. You, feeling me with every step you take, remembering what it was like to take my cock hard and fast.
As he speaks the words, he presses closer, rubbing the head through my slick heat.
Yeah, I like that a hell of a lot. You're gonna go wild for me, aren't you, sugar?
I'll give you whatever you want if you'll just... At my declaration, his eyes blaze.
You should be careful offering a man like me whatever I want.
I'm not afraid to take it.
With the head of his cock nudging against my opening, Boone grips my hips with both hands.
So tell me, Ripley, you really mean that? Whatever I want?
Yes, I yell, desperate to have him inside me, and probably willing to agree to anything right now.
Heaven help you, because I'm not letting you go back on that.
With a jerk, Boone yanks my hips toward him and slams forward at the same time, driving his cock deep, almost to the point of discomfort. Since I'm already lit up from my last orgasm, the line between pain and pleasure blurs. Boone's expression takes on an intensity I've never seen before as he unleashes everything he's been holding back. He uses his grip on my hips to pull me back and forth until my body is fucking his cock as much as his cock is fucking me. Each pounding thrust takes my breath away, but I've never experienced anything more erotic in my life. My eyelids drift closed, but Boone releases one hip and slaps my thigh, demanding my attention.
Eyes on me. I want you to know who's fucking you, whose name you're gonna scream when you come.
And then he becomes relentless, and I'm helpless to do anything but hang on tight and enjoy the ride. His gaze never leaves mine, almost daring me not to come. I hold back for as long as I can, but it's a losing battle.
Boone!
His name leaves my lips on a hoarse scream, as a blinding orgasm rips through my body. I break our stare as my head rocks from side to side, unable to keep still as the pleasure owns every inch of me. Boone doesn't slow his pace. Sensation overwhelms me as he powers inside me over and over, seeking his own release. When his roar echoes through the room, his cock pulses and I'm filled with heat. For long moments, the only sound in the room is our heaving breaths. As my brain flips on again, the first thought that rushes through my mind hits harder than a heavyweight. Oh, shit. We didn't use a condom.
41. Before this morning, I've never come so hard in my life. It was a near religious experience. Sweat drips from my forehead and my fingers are still wrapped around Ripley's hips. I let go immediately when I realize how tight a hold I have on her. Crap, did I hurt you? A rusty laugh falls from her lips. Are you joking? I shake my head as I inspect the red marks I've left on her skin. I didn't realize. She pushes up on her elbows. It's fine, but we have a bigger problem. My gaze cuts to hers. What? She glances down to where I'm still buried balls deep. No condom. Shit. Yeah, she shakes her head. I didn't even think. I didn't either. Hell. I'm sorry, sugar. That's all on me. Her eyebrows dive into a deep V. You don't have anything, do you? It takes me a second to realize what she's asking. No. Fuck no. I'm clean. I always use a condom. I can tell she wants to ask a question by the way her mouth keeps opening and closing, and given her hesitation, I can guess what it is. Even with my ex, she didn't want to take a chance that she'd get pregnant, so we're good. I haven't been with anyone else in 2 years. Now her eyebrows wing up in surprise. Really? Her question comes out on a tone of disbelief. Yeah, I don't screw around. That's not my style. But, I mean, I thought... This time I raise an eyebrow. What? That just because I get more pussy thrown my way than a major league catcher gets balls, I must have cheated on my girlfriend? Ripley bites down on her lip, but doesn't answer. Her lack of response is enough, though. Not a chance. I might be an asshole, but I'm not a cheating asshole. I pull out, pissed that we're having this conversation while I'm still inside her, ready to get hard again and go for round two. Turning around to head to the kitchen, I snag a paper towel and bring it back to Ripley. It's been so damn long since I've had sex without a condom, I forgot how much of a mess it is. She takes the paper towel from me, but grabs the t-shirt and pulls it back on first. Her shields go up fast, but it's good to know that I have at least one way I can get her to lower them. I return to the kitchen wanting to give her some privacy, and maybe also because the donuts are there. I'm already on my second when she speaks again. Crap, The fryer has been on this whole time. She climbs off the table, probably intent on rushing forward, but I stop her with my shoulder against her belly as I lift her up. Her screech, not nearly as sexy as the sound of her screaming my name, almost blows out my eardrum. You're not walking on that ankle. I carry her around to the bar stools pulled up on the other side of the island and settle her on one. Sit your ass down and put your foot up. I'll finish the donuts. It can't be that hard. With a frustrated huff, Ripley follows my instructions, which surprises me. Easy? Really? Have you ever made donuts before? Her gray eyes, no longer cloudy with that haze of lust, shoot me a look stamped with challenge. You can talk me through it so I don't screw them up. And the icing? I look at the bag of powdered sugar. They can be powdered donuts. I'm not Martha frickin' Stewart. At Ripley's giggle, a smile breaks over my face, but it also reminds me that I didn't ask a question I needed answer to. No point in waiting for later to satisfy my curiosity. You on the pill? Or do we need to start wondering if there's going to be a little boon running around for my maw to spoil? This time, her eyebrows almost hit her hairline. Surprised I'd want her to have a kid if she got pregnant? Either way, I decide to wait for her response before I attempt donut making. We're good. I'm on the shot. She slaps her hip. Part of the reason my ass is so damn big. I narrow my eyes on her. You better leave your ass alone because I'm a pretty big fucking fan of it. In fact, I got some plans for it. Her cheeks turn red. What kind of plans? I give her a wink. I'll let you wonder. Don't want to give it all away. I've never done the butt stuff before. First donuts, then mind-blowing sex on my kitchen table, and now we're diving into anal territory. One hell of a perfect morning in my book. A smile tugs on my lips even as I try to hold it back. What do you mean, done the butt stuff? Ripley drops her gaze to my granite countertop, tracing a vein. Her response is a mumble. You know, my back door has never been open for business. Laughter starts deep in my gut and rolls through my body. Ripley grabs a pin off the counter and throws it at my head, but I bat it away. Don't laugh at me. It's not like I'm the only one in the world who has never had your back door open for business. It's not her inexperience that's the reason for my laughter. It's the way she describes it, which only goes to highlight just how genuine that inexperience is. I lean forward and place both forearms on the counter. Don't worry, sugar. We'll start with a soft opening.
42. Boone's words repeat on a loop in the back of my mind as I sit in the passenger seat of his giant crew cab pickup heading downtown to get Esteban. Don't worry, sugar. We'll start with a soft opening. Oh, my God. I shift in my seat, trying to pretend the idea isn't physically affecting me. Boone glances over, a smirk on his face, and I can tell I'm doing a terrible job. He doesn't have to say a word for me to know that we're thinking about the same thing. When he stops at the red light on the exit ramp, he leans over and snakes a hand behind my neck to draw me closer before taking my lips in a hard kiss. He pulls back when horns honk behind us because the light has turned green. They're lucky we've got something to do. I could get lost in your lips for hours. Putting that on my priority list real soon. And that sends a rush of heat that takes up residence between my legs. God, what is it about this guy? It's not like he says all the right things, because he absolutely does not. But somehow the things he does say affect me in a way that no one else has before. He's crass, bold, straightforward. None of those things should be new to me, because crass, bold, and straightforward are what you get when you grow up working in a bar. But there's something else. Maybe it's the no-bullshit factor. Boone shoots straight with me, and despite what he is, I trust him. That's a big one for me,